When the daylight cashes out tonight, you gon' see a world better than you ever done seen it before.
What's up, y'all? My name is Chris Ferrara. I'm hanging out with Donald Jenkins with Nashville Hits Collecting Dust. Hope you enjoy our little show here today.
I can tell I'm in here touching stuff. Oh my gosh. That's a little weird. Chris Ferrara. Hey man, how are you?
I'm great, man. How are you? Good morning.
Hey, it is.
Ooh.
It is first thing in the morning.
It is first thing in the morning.
And by first thing in the morning, we're really talking about 9:30, but in musician time,
yeah,
that might as well be 5 a.m.
This might as well be the ass crack of dawn, man. This is, for me, 9 a.m. doesn't usually happen. And if my parents listen to this, they'll laugh because they know that I typically like to sleep in and get my day started around 11.
Well, that makes me feel special. So thanks for, you know, doing that for me, because you don't normally. Well, hey. Chris, we met, gosh, man, you have a story. And I actually heard about you before I met you.
Mm-hmm.
But the first thing was ever told, it was like, yeah, he's probably one of the nicest guys I ever met. Never even
Who said that?
I'm not going to tell you then.
Well, I want to go give whoever that is a hug, because that's really nice to say.
Yeah. Well, you know, you get introduced to a lot of people in Nashville, right?
Mm, and sure.
So, gosh, sometimes you're like, how do you remember faces, names, and stuff like that? And especially when you're like, oh, yeah, he's a singer-songwriter. And you're like, okay.
Oh yeah. So is everybody here?
Yeah, right. But there's these times where when people introduce you or tell you about something, you're like, something sticks out.
Mm.
And then like right after I met you, literally shook your hand. I think somebody else grabbed me and I turned around and go, God, that was really rude. I don't know if you remember this, but we were at South and I'm like,
hey, I remember meeting you at South. Yeah. It was through Richard, right?
It was through Richard. Right. Yeah. And so I was like, really didn't mean to be rude. Sorry about that. And then like right after that, you jumped on stage and I was like, oh, that's really good. 1 week later, we're at Acme downtown for a Chive party hangout. Is that what they call them?
Yeah, the official meetup. That was, they have unofficial meetups and stuff like that, but it was the official meetup is when people who work for the Chive, specifically John Rezig, who is the owner, him and his brother Leo own it, and him and Mac Faulkner and Carmen Dickman, Rachel Ray, Chelsea Banks, like all the like personalities and quote unquote Chive people show up. And so that's what people get excited to go to that. People who are Chivers, part of the Chive community and Chive Nation, they get all excited to go and be part of that and hang out with them.
It was an event.
Yeah, it usually is.
Line out the door.
Mm-hmm. It was sold out. It sold out. I think they sold like 500 tickets to it and it sold out a couple hours maybe.
I'm going to tell you, I'm new to the Chive Nation, but been overly like, overwhelmed, impressed with, you know, not just the people, you know, as a company and what they do, but like what they give back.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable.
Well, their whole slogan is, well, they kind of have two. They have party with a purpose, and then they have make the world 10% happier. And so underneath the Chive name, they have Chive Charities. And so what they do is they adopt kind of orphan charities and orphan organization. Our friend Richard is part of Creative Vets, and they are one of the organizations that has Chive Charities behind it. But Chive Nation is really what drives it. These people, they do almost like flash charity work. And they'll post, hey, we're raising money for this cause. It could be a little girl who has some incredibly rare disease and she needs certain things to pay her hospital bills. She needs to be able to get into... he needs a new car in order to get to those treatments that she needs to go
What do you mean by flash? You mean like just go on social media?
Yeah, through social media, they post it up on their website. I think they go through GoFundMe.com. I think so. Look at me plugging everything. But they they go on there and they post and they say, Chive Nation, this is what we're raising money for. And they will raise money so fast. Like it's insane. And in hours, they will meet the goal. And it could be like $20,000. And Chive Nation steps up and donates money.
God, that's really cool, because Chive is, you know, obviously vetted them and all the money's going to them. And it just gives that platform for everybody in the community that loves Chive in the first place to go, yeah, we're giving back for sure.
And that's the best part about it is it's a community of people who want to give back, who care about it. And at the same time, they want to party and they want to drink and they've figured out a way to turn partying and that kind of atmosphere into a purpose.
Yeah. Wow, that's awesome. And you are part of the Tailgaters, but you're also a solo, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but like y'all are the official band of the Chive.
Yeah, so. Man, that's a cool story. We play down at St. Augustine, Florida. We play at the Caddyshack Golf Tournament. It's Bill Murray and the Murray brothers. They host this charity golf tournament, and for the last few years, we've gone down and played at it. And actually, that's how we met the guys from the Chive. We talked to them. I think it was the second or third year that we did it. I think it was the second year. We came back and the Chive people were like, oh yeah, we know who you are. You guys are the tailgaters. Like, you guys are awesome. We'll have people right up front ready for your show whenever you guys get going. And that was really cool for us because we're all Chivers, and to have them recognize us was really cool. And that's how we got tied in with them. And they were like, hey, can we borrow you as our house band for 2016? And we said, yeah, sure you can.
The story goes, they had to ask Bill Murray's permission. Correct.
Yeah. Well, cause we've played down there, and that's part of the story is you know, that John had to say, hey, can we borrow your house band for 2016? And Bill said no. And after some prodding and after some lubricating of the decision, probably right. over drinks, he said, yeah. And so now we get to tour we tour anyway. We play 250 shows a year, wow. but all over the country, but we get to play at these meetups and all of these Chive events. And that's just really something cool for us to do. But yeah, I'm in the tailgaters. I'm the tour manager. I am the rhythm guitar player. I am the co-front man. I sing harmonies. Mm-hmm. And then, but like you said, I'm also a solo artist and doing my own thing and launching that actually pretty soon.
I was about to say, I got some big stuff coming up on that, which is really what I get into, because I don't feel sorry for your life right now as it is. Like, it sounds pretty, and I've been there, but like, you can tell how much fun it is, but God, just to add that purpose to it is like almost closing the circle there.
Sure.
Right.
Well,
if people would really figure that out, and that's what I love is like, hey, look, have a great time. I love to have a great time.
Absolutely. I think everybody
but
does.
You have to add that balance of purpose. And that was what I really go, God, this makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I heard this quote once. It was, the meaning of life is to find your purpose, and the purpose is to give it away.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, we play music for a living. That's my purpose. My meaning of life is to be on stage and entertain people, because that's what I'm good at. That's what I'm best at. I could sit behind a desk and answer phone calls and do sales. I've done it. I've lived that life. Mm-hmm. But for me, being on stage is where I feel at home. That's where I feel most comfortable. And so to be able to do that and raise money and do it for a purpose is the way I like to look at it is, when we play a concert, people spend their hard-earned money to be there. So it's our goal to provide the best show to help these people forget about what they have going on in their lives for however long that they're with us.
I love that quote you just said. Mine was very similar. I was in the business world for 10 years, and that was, I got to a point in my life where I was like, is this it? You know, it didn't really matter how much money or how many zeros I was adding to my income. Something was missing, right?
Sure, yeah.
But the quote I heard, that, and it's very similar, I love yours, I'm going to use it for sure, but was, success without fulfillment is failure. Mm. And I'm like, that's it. So regardless of how much success I had, if I wasn't really fulfilled in doing it, then it didn't matter, right?
Yeah.
And yours was, God, right.
If you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life, right?
Absolutely. But then give it away. Wow. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about you. I mean, as an artist,
okay.
As a writer.
Sure.
Tell me your story. When did you start? How? When did you know, all right, music was it? You said you have done the business side of it.
Hmm.
Was there a point where that crossroads in life came and you're like, uh-uh, music is it?
I guess from I've been singing since I could talk. But the first, I learned how to sing, like, that's how I learned how to talk. And it was actually through the National Anthem. That was the first song I ever learned how to sing. I was 3 years old. But as life does, it kind of took me down all different roads. At one point I thought I was going to go to college and play baseball and be an athlete for the rest of my life, because that was what I devoted all of my life to growing up. In college, I met my best friend who played guitar, and we started a band back in Boston. And, when we were doing that, I really started to re-find my love for the stage. Now, growing up, I did theater and I did all that kind of stuff. I was in all the choruses, all the choirs. I was in church choir and everything like that. And it really wasn't until I started, because of my best friend, actually, he said, why don't you, he goes, you're good at this. Why don't you be in a band with me? Stop trying to be an actor. Stop trying to play baseball. Do this with me. And I said, okay. And in 2012... that band broke up, and I got hired by Joe Bachman, who I tour with the Tailgaters. And, that's really when I took the leap and quit my day job and pursued music full time. And it was September 12th, 2012. It was the first day that I woke up as a full time musician, and I haven't looked back since.
Yeah.
So now I've been able to travel all over the country. I've been able to play for the troops. I've been able to, travel with the U.S. Navy. We were on the USS Theodore Roosevelt for their Tiger Cruise coming home. We've got to play out in Maui with Mick Fleetwood. We get to play in Canada and Mexico, and really, it was as soon as I dove headfirst into it that I really realized, holy smokes, I can make a living doing this,
right.
And I can have as much fun as I want doing this,
right?
So that's really how I got started, and that's how I really started pushing this as a career. And now, because of all the people that I've gotten to meet, because of all the opportunities that have come my way, I've grown as a performer to the point where I'm ready to jump off and do my own thing. And the best part is everybody's on board, because Joe is stepping down from the spotlight, and he's going to manage me. All of the guys in my band want to come out on the road and play my music when we go out. And it's just really cool, man. We've built a really cool team that, as Joe has said, and I live by it as well, we don't build bands, we build families. And so that's way more fun to go out on the road with a family than it is with a band.
Absolutely.
Because then you care about everybody, and then you want everybody to succeed. If you succeed, I succeed, and if I succeed, you succeed, and that makes everybody happy.
Right.
Yeah.
I love that you also said, you know, when you guys are playing, you're providing, you know, an experience. These mm-hmm. people are obviously working and spending money to hear and see you. I talked to a lot of performers like yourself, and I used to ask sometimes, especially if you do end up playing like maybe the same basic show a lot, like if it ever gets somewhat monotonous does it ever feel like Groundhog Day? And then, you know, it's funny when you think about like how much impact it really has. I've heard people go, you know, we sing for a living, it's great, we have fun. I go, you know how many people probably like meet their husband and wives at your show? Like if you really thought about this, like butterfly effect, you're like, you probably do more than just sing and entertain. Like you provide an atmosphere and entertainment.
Sure.
It really allows people to literally meet each other, mm-hmm. like just escape from whatever their, you know, world is at the time. If you really looked at it in the bigger picture, I don't mean to get too deep,
but that's real. It, yeah, you know? That's real, man. And that's to answer your question, does it get monotonous? I would be lying if I said no. There are definitely moments where it feels like a job.
Yeah.
And most times that's not even when it's on stage, because on stage, every single night is different. Every single night there's new faces, there's new people, there is a totally different vibe, because one night it could be a kind of a chill, laid back kind of a night, but at the same time, the next night could be this hoop and hollering kind right. of a good time. Really where it gets monotonous is the travel, where we always say we don't get paid to perform. We get paid to travel to wherever we have to go to. Because right. when you sit in the car for, you know, people do their 9-to-5s behind a desk. People do their 9-to-5 out in the field and whatever. We do our 9-to-5 behind the wheel of a car, and we travel anywhere from sometimes 3 hours, but sometimes 12 hours a day in the car. And in 2013 alone, myself, B-Dubs, my keyboard player, and Joe, our lead singer at the time, we traveled 100,000 miles in the car. And to put that into perspective, it would be as if you got in your car on December 1st and sat in your car until the day after Christmas, straight around the clock. That's how long we were in the car for the year. And that's, you know,
better like your band members.
You have to, otherwise right. you go crazy. But that's where it gets monotonous, where you're just, man, we're just constantly traveling. But the stage shows, man, for me, it doesn't, unless last August we played every single day. Like I said, we played 250 shows a year. Mm. Last August we didn't have a day off. We played Sunday through Saturday every single day. And it just got to the point where we were playing the same songs over and over and over and over again. And we were just like, all right, like I wouldn't mind a break from this.
Right. But it does lead into, you know, you as a writer, right? You're playing a lot of these songs on stage, but now does that give you, you know, more motivation to write new ones and always,
of course.
And do you have time, you know, and how does that, you know?
Do I have time? No. I have time when I'm in town, when I'm here, we're hardly ever in town. We spend about 80% of the year on the road. And so really my home here in Nashville is just kind of a place for me to keep my stuff. And, but I love it because that it gives me a reason to come back here. It gives me that drive to get back here and to work and to write and to be around people. And, it definitely drives me. I mean, I get motivation being out on the road, playing shows and life experiences is what I tend to draw on when I write because as a writer, you're always looking for that me too moment I want to play a song for you and for you to go, yeah, me too. I know exactly what he's talking about. That's how you associate with your crowd. And I get more motivation when I'm here in town and I go to writer's rounds. Cause I try to go out as much as I can when I'm home because I'm never home. And so for me, I'll go to writer's rounds and I'll go see showcases and I'll go down where we met South and I'll go see my buddies play down there. I'll go over to Tin Roof and listen to people. And there are so many talented people in this town. And every single night I go out, I'm just continuously wowed by the songwriters in this town. And I'll hear songs and go, oh my God, I can't believe I never thought of that. That's amazing. Or I'll hear a line in one of their songs and that will spark a different idea for me. And so then I'll write that down and you hear somebody say a quote, somebody says kind of something, some mantra that they live by. And then you go, man, nobody's ever written that song before. Let's write that song.
Yeah. I've been told, Chris, I'm a walking hook. Just want to let you know.
Okay.
We're
going to hang out more often than I'm just going
to, I don't expect any co-writes or anything. I've just been said that I've been told that like, God, I don't know. Huh. Lisa Goh actually said that when she was on the show, she was like, I said something. She goes, oh, that's a song. And I go, I hear that so much.
That actually just happened when I was up in, when we were up in Louisville. This gentleman who was, he's going to be the chief medical officer of the U.S. Army, which was really
cool. Yes, I met him.
Yeah. Jeff. And I forget what his last name is, but he said a quote to me. And if anybody listens to this, don't steal it because I'm writing this song next week. We're documenting it on
right now,
Nashville
it's official.
Hits Collecting Dust at 9:45 a.m. on May 11th. I'm documenting it now.
Oh, it's funny.
He said he was asked if he wanted a drink. And he said, well, I'm a social drinker. So if you're going to have a drink, social I.
Oh, what?
And I went, I'm writing that down and I'm writing that song because that's a great line. And so...
Oh, that's good.
We're writing, so I will be writing that song next week with my boy Joe Bachman and with one of, I'll say this, and I say this with all sincerity, and I'm not knocking anybody else in town, but this gentleman that I'm writing with, Adam Wood, is going to be a superstar writer in this town within the next 2 to 3 years.
Y'all talked about him for about an hour the other night. I'm like, I've got to meet this guy.
He is flawless. He effortless. He picks up the guitar and music happens and lyrics happen. The way that he tells stories, it's mind blowing. You sit in a room with him, and there are a lot of people in this town that you feel this way about, where you sit down and you're almost in awe of how good they are, and they write the song and they go, well, what about this line? And you're like, yeah, dude,
yeah,
that's way better than anything I was gonna say.
Hence why I'm doing this podcast, by the way. For 15 years, not being in music, I've said and what you just said, right? And I'm like, how many people are not hearing what I'm not hearing? Sure. Or hearing what I am hearing, sorry. But
sure,
that's what I'm saying. Like, you go out and I hear all this talent, all these songs that are amazing. Mm. It just, by pure numbers, not all of them can be cut. I mean, that's just reality,
that's
right?
That's just reality.
But it doesn't mean they're not amazing songs.
Sure. Welcome to the hustle and the struggle of Nashville. That's, everybody's trying to get that cut. Everybody wants it. That's how you quote unquote make it, is you get that major cut. And that's, I'm fortunate enough to have friends who I consider dear friends of mine that have landed that. A dear friend of mine, Mr. Lance Carpenter, he was a co-writer on Kelsey Ballerini's first single, Love Me Like You Mean It. And that song took off and huge, and it's changing his life. And I think that's the coolest thing in the world, because you get to watch your friends succeed, and especially somebody who's been pushing at it for a long time.
Yeah, just at the grind. I mean, together a lot of times. So, sure. And there's not like that perfect equation, right? I get asked this question a lot. What makes the perfect hit song? And I don't know.
You don't know. It's it's all about that one song. It's all about the hook. The hook has got to be, and it depends. It depends on which kind of genre, which genre you go into. If it's pop, the hook matters the most. Mm. And country is now very, very much pop. And it's the hook. It's that line that people are going to walk away from singing
Yeah.
And that they're going to remember. But at the same time, you try to tell a story with it, and you try to have it be, you try to keep the eloquence of songwriting. And that's, I mean, that there's no formula. It's if the right person hears the right song.
Well, you know what? Speaking of that, because you have a right to go to, so we could talk all day.
Listen, I don't have to be there until 11 o'clock and my ass is up early. So we've got plenty of time. I know that you try to keep this down to 20 minutes and I tend to be long winded.
No, I just want to hear a song.
Sure.
So if you could like set us up with one of your favorites, right? Hits Collecting Dust, because it's one of your favorites. It's not cut, but that didn't mean it's not a hit. And we want to hear it.
Sure. Well, with the Hits Collecting Dust, it's a perfect segue because this guitar that I'm going to play on, I used at this derby party that we were at out in Louisville this past weekend. And it is covered in dust. I haven't gotten a chance to clean it yet. So you're getting the first play
the hit
since
collecting
the show.
Dust with the guitar
that is covered in dust.
Perfect.
So this song I'm going to play here, it's called Seeing Stars. And it's a song that I wrote solely by myself. And I grew up in a small town just outside of Boston, Massachusetts. And out in suburbia, there are, there is the city kind of life, and then there is the small town, hometown kind of life. And I got to live both of those. I was 20 minutes outside of Boston, so Boston is what I consider home. And I would go into the city and do that, but when I would come home, I was raised in a very southern hospitality kind of a way. And truth be told, my brother is one of the biggest rednecks that I know. And I've gotten to meet a lot of rednecks, but my brother is, and my dad, the two of them, they are rednecks, man. They work with their hands. They work outside. Their hands are beat up and tough. And so for me, I wanted to write a song that was as if I brought somebody home with me to show them what life would be like at home. Mm. Not home at home, but like show them something outside of the nightlife of the city. And I grew up listening to hip hop, R&B, soul, that kind of music, and country really didn't find a stronghold in me until really I went on the road until I moved to Nashville and I fell in love with country music. Mm. So for me, my brother is a huge country fan, but the first time I ever played this song out after I'd written it, I played it down in Louisiana on a farm in Louisiana, and the farmer's son came up to me after I played it, and he said, "Did you know that you just sang the story of my first date with my now wife?" And I went, "Really?" And he said, "Yeah, everything that you just talked about is exactly how our first date went." And I went, "Well, that gives me validity, man. I can play this song anywhere in the world now. Like I told you, that Me Too moment."
Yeah.
So this song is called Seeing Stars, and it touches on a little bit of all of my influences. It's some people say it's kind of Sam Hunty, but I think it's got hip hop feel to it, and that's the way I look at it.
I love it.
So yeah, this song is called Seeing Stars, and I hope you enjoy it, my brother.
Awesome.
"So what's a good Christian girl like you doing out here with me? I bet the people back home said to leave me alone and never go this far from the city. But you were looking like you're thinking maybe later on you're gonna wanna take a late night ride. Well, the car's already running, we can burn a little rubber. Let me open up your door to get inside. I could take your way out, let me show you around to a spot where nobody will be near us. We can turn the music down and be as loud as we want. I promise that nobody's gonna hear us. It's just you and me, baby, and the man in the moon. He's looking, but he said he wasn't watching. There ain't a red light for miles, 'cause we're out where it's green, girl. Pull the brake, no stopping. When the daylight cashes out tonight, you gon' see a world better than you ever done seen it before. Out in the country sky, we get the feeling right. Lay back in this spot of ours, find out why they call it seeing stars. I
I bet you that your phone's gonna die, so you might as well put it away. The only towers we got a lot of water in them, so you ain't gonna have service anyway. And you don't need a selfie to remember me. Just let the fireflies illuminate your memory. We'll go from date night to late night, from real good to great night, and blend into the scenery. Come on. When the daylight cashes out tonight, you gon' see a world better than you ever done seen it before. Out in the country sky, we get the feeling right. Lay back in this spot of ours, find out why they call it seeing stars. So here's a blanket to lay on, now go get your gaze on and watch me put your name in lights. I can see your eyes closing, but girl, keep them open, cause you'll never see them shine so bright. If you think the mood just needs a little music, well, let me find it on a country station. We'll go real slow, we'll do a do-si-do, and we can dance among the constellations. Come on! When the daylight cashes out tonight, you gon' see a world better, know you. You ain't never seen it like this before. Out in the country sky, we get the feeling right. Lay back in this spot of ours, find out why they call it seeing stars. Why they call it seeing stars. Tonight, you gon' see a world better. Know you ain't never seen it like this before. Out in the country sky, we get the feeling right. Laid back in this spot of ours, find out why they call it seeing stars.
Awesome, dude.
Thanks, man. I like that song. That's a fun one for me to play. I like it.
That's a fun song, and I'm going to be, you know, honest here in a very, very platonic way, but if you don't have a girlfriend, I have a hard time believing that if you play that out, you have a hard time meeting girls. I'm just, that's a total assumption, by the way.
It's so. A good thing I didn't play my my brownie points song then.
Oh gosh, you haven't. Oh gosh. See, this is why I look back and I don't have too many regrets in life. I really don't. One of them is I should have totally took guitar lesson or something.
Who is it? Rob Thomas. Rob Thomas says the reason why we learn how to play music is to get girls. That's what, you know, that's, you do it because, you know, you learn how to play guitar because you can just go and sit. And if you can pull it off.
Yeah.
Oh, look at, watch this. This is a G chord. Oh my God. Watch this. This is a C chord.
Wow. Yeah.
This is a D chord.
I was misled as a small boy, I guess. Not that sports wasn't a bad route, but God, I think I should have stuck with music.
Right.
Hey, I appreciate it. That was awesome, dude.
Thanks, man.
God, thanks for coming in. I have a lot more questions for you, but I'm going to have to hit that probably on the next time. You're right. Cool for coming back and doing it again.
I'm leaving next week. I leave for basically the entire summer. So 3.5 months I'm gone. So hopefully when I come back, we'll have even more to talk about. And we'll have some...
I just have a feeling you and I are not going to have a hard time talking.
I don't think so. Okay. I think I got that vibe from you from the first time you totally Hollywooded me and said, you know, oh, that was rude. I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, sorry.
No, man, it's totally funny. It's totally cool. That's
people great. Meet me and they go, yeah, you do talk a lot. And I'm like, that, yeah, I know.
It's funny. You remind me of one of my best friends. Like you even look like him. It's really funny. It's my best buddies back. He lives in New Jersey. He's one of my boys from college. But like, you just totally remind me of him. And it's cool. It's cool. It's you know.
I don't know him, but I'm gonna take that as a compliment because it is one of your best friends. It is so we'll go with that.
It is a compliment. It's a good. It's a good thing.
Awesome. Chris Farrar, appreciate you coming in, man.
Yeah, man. Well, thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Let's do it.
All right.
This has been HIDS Collecting Dust. Please support this podcast and the artists featured by going to iTunes, subscribing, and leaving us a review.